I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, listeners of Lower Your Expectations. Welcome back to the podcast. I've got a laughing guest sat right to my left.
It's already jokes.
In Maisie Peters.
You've said three words.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Marcus?
Very good, thanks. How are you, Matt?
Yeah, very, very good. It's nice sat across from Sport Relief over there. Both wearing matching red, so it's lovely.
For anyone that's listening at home, not watching online, Maisie and I have pretty much matched outfits, and we do look like we're doing something for Sport Relief.
So who is who?
Well, I think you can be Claudia.
I accept that.
Welcome to our podcast. Is this your first podcast?
It is my first podcast.
Ooh.
That was weird.
Do you listen to podcasts?
Gonna put it out there. Not really.
I obviously listen to this
all the time. I have a very short attention span when it comes to things like entertainment things. Like, I'm not really a film person, not really a podcast person. I'm just listening to music mainly. Mm-hmm. I don't even really do TV.
I feel like we need to actually intro you, because I'm just like, we have Maisie Peters here.
Everyone knows who I am.
Maisie is a musician, singer, songwriter. You're at a very exciting stage in your career, and you've got a very bright future ahead of you. So you're born in 2000.
Yeah.
It's interesting because it's like it's a different generation to the one we're used to. And
when you guys 91?
Yeah.
Are you both 91?
Yes. Yeah.
Two days apart.
Are you?
I put that in the job application. I was like, I'm born 2 days after you.
Did you actually?
Yeah. It's fate.
It's like, who are you? Well, I guess not even 10 years. Do you feel like I've grown up in a really different time to you have?
Yes.
You did.
You know, you've grown up. How old were you when you first got a phone, for example?
Wow, I got one when I like walked to school for the first time. In short, me and Marcus lived in the same place. Well, we went to the same primary school. So stand back with your, I was born in 91. Went to the same fucking primary school.
What was the phone?
It's like a flip.
Motorola.
Yeah, it probably was actually. The age where we all got our first phones, like most people got them for like a birthday or something. Mm-hmm. Our parents must have been like having the most jokes at us, because it's like the cheapest birthday present ever. It was like a £10 phone that you would like pay as you go, and no one would spend any money. So it was like a £10 birthday present, and they're like, this is for you guys. It's a big day.
I miss topping up. You know, when you used to do the... How did you used to top up again? It was like...
You had to buy the things in a shop.
Yeah. I think you texted.
That was the stage after. You had to go and buy your £10 credit.
Yeah, do you remember? Yeah. In like Tesco's or something. Shout out Tesco's.
Sponsor.
So our first phones, we were chatting about it, was the classic Nokia 3310.
The reason I think we've found it so like interesting, like year 2000, is like you've had social media, I feel, throughout your schooling and things like that. I sound like a politician. We didn't have that, did we?
No.
Like, we had, I guess, Bebo and like MySpace and things.
Yeah, but it's totally different.
I was
now,
never using MySpace. I wasn't cool enough for MySpace.
You're not the upward selfie looking up.
Oh, what, the fringe? Yeah. I would have worked out really well then, wouldn't I?
You would.
That
would
have been
fair.
My year.
That would have been.
That was your time.
What have I done? What age were you got your first phone, and what age were you when you first signed up to social media?
Right, first phone was probably, it's like year six. So, wow, that's like 10 or 11?
Yeah, 10 or 11.
But it was because I was walking to school by myself. So my mum was like, you need safety. Yeah. It was always a safety thing. And then social media. Well, I got Facebook when I was like in year seven, because my family moved to Australia. So we were like, we'll keep in touch. And then we just played Farmville and didn't do anything.
Farmville. Oh my God, I wasted so much time on that game.
And then I had Facebook, and you do the things where you like make collages of your friends.
Oh.
Just, that was a big thing. I had some, you know, it on Facebook would be like 7 years ago today.
Yeah.
Like, I love you guys. Like, I said, like, pictures of our hearts. Anyway, I feel like I'm a little bit in the crossover point of social media, because it didn't exist when I was young. I remember my sister got Snapchat. I remember her like running around the house, like just filming things and sending it to her friends. I was like, what are you doing?
That was with Snapchat?
Yeah, I remember that was like when it started. Uh-huh. But I didn't have it for ages.
So I was going to mention your sister.
Oh, she will love this. Go on, Ellen.
Well, you're a twin.
I am a twin.
So you're the first twin we've had on this podcast.
You're welcome.
What is it like being a twin?
Okay. Well, I actually get asked this all the time. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give you a boring answer. I'm probably not the twin to ask because me and my sister are quite, like, different. Mm-hmm. We're not those twins. And I know them that are, like, super
no,
tight.
No. I met your sister.
You came to my gig.
I did,
Yeah, and you came at the same time as my
teacher.
She
was one of the most confident people
I think she told you my success was down to her.
Yeah, oh yeah, she fully did. Yeah. She stood there and she was like, "You're gonna be at Cara Delevingne. I'm gonna be your sister."
So if one of you gets hurt, the other one doesn't feel it.
No,
is that just a misconception?
I think maybe if you were like, I don't know, because we're just quite different. Like, we've always grown up really different. We're super different people. We've got different friends and different interests. So we've always been quite like sisters, and we're kind of both like the older and the younger in different ways. I think that I do know some twins that say that when their twin is upset, they're upset. I just don't give a shit about Ellen, so you know.
Is there like a twin commune or something? How do you know other twins? I don't know any twins. This is the first twin.
Well,
because
you all go to school together, don't you? So you all know each other.
All the twins.
All the twins.
Yeah. My mum's a twin, actually.
Is she?
Yeah, I've never asked her. Does she?
That means
feel
for you
her
could
twin
have then. Twins if you have. Oh no, it's going to
I used to think that when I was growing up, and I was always like, I'm going to have twins, and then scientifically, I was like, I don't think
that's how it works
actually. So before we get into music chat and YouTube chat, I want to ask you about your obsession with.
I know what's coming. Well, I might, maybe not. I have one guess.
What's your guess?
Say it at the same time. 3, 2, 1.
Shawn Mendes.
Right.
I only say this because.
It's on my Twitter a lot.
I mean, it's on your Twitter a lot.
No, it's a very fair question.
And I want to know your thoughts because I feel as your career blossoms, there may be an opportunity where you end up meeting him, you end up in the same room as him.
Right, this How is the joke, though, right. Because the thing is, I'm not one of them girls. I never was when I was growing up. I was like, I love Justin Bieber with my whole heart. Mm-hmm. I was just never into it. I was like, I don't really care. Started as a joke with this Shawn Mendes thing because I just actually do think he's really talented. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually do
he's a great
really
songwriter.
Respect. I think he's a really great songwriter. I think he seems like a really nice guy. He's really young, and he was really young when he was successful. And you watch interviews, and I think he seems just really well-rounded and nice and kind. Anyway, Maisie, calm down. But then, so that was one thing. I was like, I just like Shawn Mendes. I was like, oh, he's also fit, which is a different thing, but also a fair thing. I actually feel like it's not impossible that me and Shawn Mendes could go out with each other.
Okay.
Because we're not that different age.
You're really at that
sort We're not that different in age. There are stranger things that could happen than me meeting Shawn Mendes. Like, I know people that know Shawn Mendes, like, because I obviously do a lot of writing, and there's, like, a community around that.
It could happen.
So it's kind of become a joke where it's like, nah, but like, Maisie, this is the one you should go for because this is the realistic love, Shawn Mendes, out of all the other boys I know. Thanks, guys. But now, I do actually just rate Shawn Mendes, and now it's a joke. But the thing is, so like, me and my keys player, Christina, this was like the joke that bonded us when we like first met and we're practicing together. And so now I'm like, Christina, it's not that far. It's not that impossible that we'll meet him together. Ooh. And then we'll both be like, hi, Shawn. Hello. How are you?
So you don't believe in don't meet your heroes then?
You
think marry your heroes?
I feel like, yeah, marry your heroes. Have lots of children with them. Oh, no, we definitely can't put that on the internet. But no, because I think I have other heroes. Like, I'm a big Taylor Swift fan for lots of reasons. I feel like if I meet Taylor Swift, I kind of don't want to. This is the thing. Like,
but you're the kind of person who would be really composed. I don't think...
I'm a very awkward person.
So whenever I meet someone I'm a fan of, I just go into this ball of cringe and don't know what to say. Whereas you would just nail it.
Nah, I would with Taylor. I had a dream the other day that I met Taylor Swift and then I had to go and see some pirates. That's irrelevant.
You had to go and see some pirates?
Yeah, I got thrown into sea with the pirates because I fucked it with Taylor Swift so bad. She was like,
some subliminal messaging
yeah,
in that,
I know.
Isn't there?
I really see it. You know, some people, right, I had this with Beyonce. I have a real theory that she's just not a person. Like, I just can't imagine Beyonce being someone that does things in a day. You know what I mean? What does she do? Does she wait? Like, she wakes up and like, and she has kids, so she probably like gets her kids breakfast. I mean,
she go to the shop? Does she go to the dentist?
Just picture them in her pajamas watching something on Netflix.
I mean.
Like,
just,
what
like,
does she go to watch?
There.
Just hanging out, eating some.
What does she? Yeah,
Chris. Yeah, like the things that we do. We just on Friday night, just sit there eating, saying,
"Get the walkers in."
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, let's backtrack a little bit. What inspired you to get into music? Who inspired you to get... I'm going to ask loads of questions. When was the first time you picked up a guitar? You realised you could write a song?
I was inspired literally by Taylor Swift. Anyone watch Love Story, the music video?
No. Sorry.
I mean, it's not really your thing, but I'm going to make you watch later. I'll send it to you both. It's basically Taylor Swift, like, in a wedding dress, acting out Romeo and Juliet. So it's, like, country pop song with a key change. And it, like, shook me to my core. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, God, this
How
is
old
so
were you
good.
Roughly?
I was probably, like, 10 or 11, maybe.
Okay.
And I always, like, wrote, like, poems, stories and shit as, like, a kid.
And could you sing by the age of 10?
No,
had you started
not.
Singing?
Well, this is the thing. My family aren't musical at all. Mm-hmm. No one. I did, like, choirs and stuff that everyone does as a kid, like, just join the school choir. I wasn't one of them kids that were, like, good at singing. Mm-hmm. I was, like, I sounded like a kid. And then we had, like, a really old keyboard. Not even a keyboard. It's, like, a plastic thing that I, like, kind of picked up and started doing. And then I wanted to learn guitar because previously I'd learned flute. For a good 4 years.
Classic.
Absolutely. I was so bad. And my sister learned clarinet and she was so bad.
That was quite musical though, to go for flute and clarinet.
Yeah, but I think it was just, you know, like, just pick an instrument in primary school, sure. Like, off you go. We were I honestly remember my sister doing Old MacDonald Had a Farm and I just cried. I was like, this is too bad, I can't.
Mine was the recorder. And
yeah, I did
recorder. Yeah, recorder was popular. Chasing Cars on guitar. I remember everyone learned. I picked up my friend's, she lent me her guitar. It was like a nylon string, kind of cheap one. But I started learning on that and I brought it to school for a guitar lesson. And then I left it in the music cupboard and somebody broke it.
Disaster.
It was disaster. Yeah, I felt really bad. And so I've said to her, like, when I'm hugely rich and successful, I'm going to buy her a sick guitar. Nice. Yeah, to replace. Haven't done that yet, actually. It's not quite there yet.
Well, which leads me into the next thing, because you have signed a major record deal, signed a major publishing deal. It's very, very exciting. But how was that whole process for you in terms of, you started making music on YouTube, you know, you started posting your original covers on YouTube. You didn't do covers, you just put up your own original stuff, mm-hmm. which I think that's what's so amazing about you, is you never went out to do covers. You were just like, hey, I can sing and I can write my own stuff. And then that kind of develops and then you go into meeting all these labels. How was that process? Was it nerve-wracking?
No, but I'm not a very nervy person. I have this excellent life motto, which is like, just don't think about anything.
Yeah.
Just don't. I literally think about nothing somehow.
Does that mean you're always in the now then, if you're not thinking about anything? Because normally when you're thinking, you're like, oh, I've got this on the horizon. No.
Well, I actually have recently, like, I'm releasing some things during this year and there's a lot to do, and so now I am a bit like more in the think mindset. But like, definitely all, like, when you're meeting people or doing meetings or have, especially with that sort of thing, and like gigs as well, I'm just don't think about it, which I know is kind of counterproductive because as soon as you think about not thinking it, you're thinking about it. but I'm just not an overthinker. Like, I had this conversation in my writing session the other day because we were like talking about whether we're a warrior, and I was like, I'm not really, like,
I'm in between mix. So I'm someone who doesn't think about things until about an hour before it.
Yeah.
And then in my head, I'm like, oh shit, that thing's happening that I haven't really planned for.
The downside is you don't actually, you're not normally very prepared, which is fine for most things. But for some things, you do. Like, for example, this, I was like, this podcast, I was like, I'd just rock up, which actually is fine. But like, if it was something more serious, I would have been a little bit fucked. Like, I just turned up like, hello everyone.
Can I take you back? So you said you started writing poetry and short stories and things.
Mm-hmm.
So what inspired you to do that? Because that clearly shows that you've got a creative kind of flow running through you. And you're saying that your family weren't musical, but maybe they were creative.
My dad's a geography teacher. My mum was like a journalist and now works in the police. I mean, I guess I was a huge reader when I was a kid. I like read everything, vastly inappropriate books all the time. I just literally... I really don't read that much anymore, but like as a kid, I was one of them. But I just thought it was something that everyone did. And I guess my house was like, my parents did encourage me and my sister to be creative. Like, she's really good at art now, as she used to make like milk bottle elephants, I remember. Like milk carton elephants, and we had like 20,000. And my parents were like, we love them, Ellen. Keep them coming. That's actually jokes. I haven't thought about that ages. So I guess it was kind of like encouraged, but it was, my parents were never at all like, you should do this or you should do that. Like, everything I did. So I was in a band, like, to fill in the gaps. I was like Taylor Swift, Maisie starts writing songs. And then I was in a band with, like, a couple of my friends for a few years. And again, like, it wasn't serious, but like, we did a lot of gigs and we like put out some music and everything. And I will never reveal the band name because it's still on the internet.
I need to see this.
I might show you later,
yes,
but
please.
I literally will never, ever reveal the name.
Mark's like contractually.
But yeah, so I did. But my parents, anyway, my parents were never the sort that were like, you should do this or this. They were always just like, do whatever you want.
It's nice to have supportive parents in that way rather than necessarily pushy parents.
Yeah, so much. And even with like nowadays and with all the stuff I was up to and I do now, they're like interested and they'll be like, oh, what have you been up to? But then never like, they don't care in the same way I know that other parents like invest in their children's lives as if they are their own. They obviously care, but in a different way, which is much nicer.
But sometimes they may be showing that they're caring by letting you go and do everything,
and do
explore these avenues.
Your mum is a legend.
My mum is a legend.
Just FYI.
We absolutely love Diane in this house. She's so quality.
On the subject of songwriting, moving on from that, I feel like in the music industry, there's a lot of people who make songs and a lot of people might not know the process that goes into making a song. So someone could just sing a song, but they might not have written that song.
Yeah,
do you have an opinion on that? Because coming from someone who you have a craft and you write your own stuff and you're really passionate about that, do you have an opinion on people who don't write their own stuff or pretend that they do write their own stuff?
I mean, there's like two things I want to say about this. First thing is, because I write my own stuff and then I get to release my own stuff, I'm really lucky because I get to write it and then I get to put it out and people are like, I love that, and I get to feel that people like what I'm making. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a writer and I write a lot. Like, I write a bit for other people as well, and I do songs and I like pitch them away, and I'm friends with a lot of like just songwriters. Recently it's actually been amazing. I think in the past few years they've really got the credit they deserve, but I think I would love, and I will do this, I'm sure when I'm going further, making more things, I think songwriters are so under credited because even if there are lots of artists that are like credited as writing their songs, and absolutely fair play to them because they are involved and they're in the room and it's their idea and it's their life, not gonna have an opinion on that, but like songwriters, they're so important. Like, massive songs come out of these writers who no one knows of, and that's for good reason because they're, you know, they're writers, they're not artists, they're for their own reasons. But I think I would love to see, yeah, and I think it is going, I think they are getting more appreciated, maybe because I'm kind of in the community more. But Spotify do stuff now with writers, it's like a Genius Project thing.
I feel like it's similar if you're also a producer, someone who produces the beats beforehand. A huge part of the song is obviously.
Yeah, it's
the
like a huge part of the success. But I think producers tend to get a little bit more
credit than the songwriters.
So that's one thing. I just would love like my songwriter friends to be credited more because I think they're so important. And then artists who don't write their own music, because the thing is, Rihanna doesn't write anything. And like, I love Rihanna, and Rihanna is absolutely necessary in life and in music and for so many people. And as an artist, she's so necessary. I don't care that she doesn't write her own music. Yeah. And no one cares that Rihanna doesn't write her own music. It's what the sort of artist you are. You know, I think, because the other day I was talking about Cardi B with my producer friend, because I am obsessed with the song Be Careful. I think it's like the best thing ever. And I think it's the best thing ever because lyrically, I know so many girls, it was just like, bang. It would hit so close to home and everyone sings it. And it's like, I just think it's amazing. And then we were talking about how there's debate whether she writes her own stuff. And I think it doesn't bother me because to each their own. Make what you want, and as long as you're doing it positively and not harming anyone, like, go for it. But I think, you know, rappers, like singer-songwriters, I don't love the culture of, like, you know, pretending you write something.
Yeah, that's
but then it's
what
really
I'm...
difficult because I understand that everyone feels involved, and also it's not. And like from a marketing side, it's not the best to be like, I didn't actually write this song, but like, it means a lot to me. I get that probably you don't want to say that.
I just think maybe for you, for an artist who does do it themselves, it's just more rewarding when there is success because
yeah,
you feel
exactly. You feel like
it's you.
Yeah, I mean, is this I'm not in this the music kind of circle. Is this a thing then, like where people are pretending to write their own songs?
Not well, actually. I feel like more in like rap.
Yeah.
I feel like there's been, for me, like in pop music and in like singer songwriter thing. Yeah. Singer songwriter, no, because you either write it or you're not a singer songwriter. Especially like American pop music. And kind of UK as well, we're actually pretty good at being like, that's the artist, that's the writer, mm-hmm. respect to the writer, mm-hmm. artist is chill. Like Dua Lipa didn't write my favourite Dua Lipa song. Yeah, New Rules. Yeah. But she also didn't write the one about...
I don't give a fuck.
I see the moon.
I'm just, I can just reel off Dua Lipa songs.
What's that? Oh, you're not fooling anyone. She didn't write that. And then there was an interview and she was like, no, my really good friend Lucy Paws wrote it.
Which is nice.
And yeah, she was like, and I connected with it so much. And I was like, I love this. And then I took it in, I did my own thing.
Yep.
And I think it actually, it's pretty good in pop music. Everyone has their roles. And I feel like everyone really respects each other. I only know because of all this like Drake beef that happened with that other guy.
Yeah.
All this like ghostwriting shit that I don't really know about. But I feel like I don't know many people that
shots fired at Drake.
I kind of
kept leave Drake alone.
Yeah. I feel like Drake really needs our sympathy. Yeah, he's having a really shit time right now.
He's been mentioned on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be gassed.
Drake, when you're listening, mate, come on, stop messing about. Come on, get in the room.
Reply to my text, Drake. God, but no, generally, no, I don't know that many people that pretend. They're just it's not like necessarily pretending. It's more like willful. kind of lie where you don't specify maybe, which isn't the same thing. But no, I think everyone's pretty good about it, to be honest.
Can we talk about politics?
Yeah. Whoa. I'm in. I literally tweeted fuck the Tories last night, so I'm ready to go.
I saw you were protesting when the American president visited recently.
Sure, I was.
And I was wondering how you feel about, you know, for YouTubers, talking about politics is like a bit of a taboo. Like, not a lot of people do it. Whereas in music, I'm wondering, what was your think? Do you think about it before? Are you worried? Like, if I put this, is this going to antagonize people? Or are you just, this is how I feel. If you don't like it, whatever, that's your opinion.
In classic Maisie way, do I think about it? No. Should I? Probably. I literally did a gig the other day. And when you get on stage, I feel like something just comes over me, especially when I have to chat. I just spout the most shit ever.
No, but you're so good at that. The holding you do on stage, you are very good at that.
It's like awkward jokes, and it ended up with it was the 70th anniversary of the NHS, and then I ended up saying "fuck the Tories" on stage to the whole room, and then I said it, and as soon as I said it, I was like, take that one back, actually. Don't tell my manager.
And my next guest is Jeremy Corbyn. We love
Jeremy. But that's a bit of a joke, to be honest. And in terms of, like, on a deeper level, politics, I think the thing is to me, I actually, in the way that I don't think about things, I would just tweet about it anyway. And I don't have a huge platform. You know, I have people that follow me, but it's not massive. So it's not something I have to think about hugely, I guess. I don't hugely worry. And I think it's important, especially nowadays, if you are a young person, you do have people following you. You don't have to say your own like political opinion. Around the little election when JME like interviewed Jeremy Corbyn, do you remember that?
Yeah.
Best thing ever.
Yeah.
But then he tweeted like all the links to all the different political parties and was like how you read about it.
That's what I was about.
And I was like,
well,
that's sick. Like instead of my take of just beef the Tories, which is fine, but I think on a serious note, it's really important that people do that because
it's
so
wider
many
education
in this space.
I feel like for the younger generation, it's so hard. It's such an overwhelming topic to try and get involved with. So I think what you said is great. Like if you can shine a light on, hey, here's some great stuff. Go have a read, and then you take away your own.
Exactly. Yeah, I just think it's important right now to not talk about it. I mean, don't force yourself to, but like if you have something to say, like then just say it, I think. But then I get as well, there's whole, like especially on Twitter, whole culture of like what you should and shouldn't say and what's going to come back and what you don't realize is going to be misquoted. And I'm not someone that's going to be subject to that hugely.
I think if you're confident in what you're saying though, and you've got reason to back up what you are saying, which I think you do, then you're going to be all right.
Yeah. But I get why politics is something that you wouldn't, if you're not confident in what you're saying. And also, if you have a, There's just so much. Well, it's just a touchy subject, isn't it?
It's always up for debate. There's always someone.
It's money, politics, religion. We don't talk about it at the dinner table.
So, religion.
Yeah. next step.
But I know I really commend you for talking about it because I think more 18-year-olds need to in this.
But I think lots are. Lots of my friends on Twitter and like my lots of my artist friends in all fields. I think we all are really in, like, engaged in it. I think it's something that's definitely going to increase.
Well, I don't know about you, but when I was 18, 8 years ago, we weren't. I wasn't, like, in us. When election, it came round, it was like, oh, yeah, everyone's talking about it. What did my parents think? Oh, okay, that's what I think.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. We spoke about it before, and that was us. And I kind of like that, though, that the younger generation coming up are more like, hey, we have a voice too, and we should be heard.
Well, I think Brexit really, actually, as... Obviously, I don't agree with Brexit, but as a thing that happened, as an event, I think it was, like, hugely important, like, really pivotal, because I remember it was the day of my prom, the results.
Great day.
Yeah, what a great day. But, like, I think that vote, and everyone kind of knew about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the loose way that everyone actually did kind of know about it with no facts, but, you know, everyone kind of knew about it, and everyone, I think, kind of thought it would be fine, regardless of what they actually wanted to happen. Everyone was like, it will be fine.
Yeah.
But I like, regardless of the decision, like the fallout of government afterwards and the whole shambles that's been since, regardless of whether you voted in or out, like, still been a bit of a shambles.
A shit show.
And I think that's really been like, oh, shit, like, ah, oh, that's actually quite important. Mm, yeah. And I think a lot of, I do get with politics, you can not really see it in action in your life.
Mm.
And unless I studied it for A-level, but I get that if you're a young person, you don't really see it, like, as it kind of slips by. But I think Brexit, everyone was like, oh, like, our Prime Minister, and like, Prime Ministers, that's something most people have a grasp on. It's like, where's David Cameron gone? Like, why, who is Theresa May? Like, why is Boris Johnson, like, it was like, what is going on? Yeah. Like, names that you know.
Yeah.
I think that was really important for, like, progressing a lot of people's opinions.
So, YouTube.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
Good
luck. We'll see you later.
Cheers. Hello, everyone.
Who did you watch on YouTube? What was your first experience with YouTube?
Okay, yeah. That's more tackleable. Right. I actually really remember, it was a New Year's Eve, and I was probably like 12 or 13, and my sister was like, Maisie, classic Ellen on the ball again. She was watching something. I was like, Ellen, what are you watching? Because it was like a dark video. It was like someone holding up bags. And she was like, oh, it's this girl called like Zoe showing me like her Primark haul. And I was like, that sounds shit. and then like a year later, I'm like, oh, fair. It's like the whole thing. And obviously, it's not shit. Creds to them. I think YouTube was sick. I was actually explaining it. I was working with a good friend of mine, producer, the other day, and he's not on the internet, he doesn't have Instagram or anything, and he was like, what, so why do people watch YouTube? And we actually got really deep into it, and I was like, it's escapism, it's like TV, but it's like people you know. Mm-hmm. There are elements of every art field that are less desirable, and I don't think you can judge the whole platform on that, but I think it's given so many people like a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And especially YouTube at the beginning, kind of with you and Zoe and Alfie and all of those people, I think it's like all these people that I don't know what they would have done otherwise. And I think they really helped loads of people. And I think YouTube at a point was really, it was like a community.
Yeah.
It was like for everyone. I felt really democratized at one point. Like really like anyone can join in.
Mm-hmm. As long it was as a very open community. Yeah. It was very nice. There was no drama. Boxing fight.
But it was just really like a really like interesting place as well, because obviously it was so democratised, you didn't have to do anything or be anyone to do it. You just had to have a camera. Arguably, it's not the deepest entertainment form in the world, but then I kind of can't be bothered with that argument when people are like, oh, it's like a waste of time. So I'm like, so many things are not that deep, and that's fine. TV is not that deep. We're all like making up fictional things.
But then, you know, you were obsessed with Love Island as well. Yeah. That could argue not, that to say
but
not
that's
that
why
is...
I have the same... It's the same thing with YouTube and Love Island. Like, I will go in and defend because I'm like... It's all like superiority as well. It's all people that have a complex and think they're better than that. And I'm like, that's not how it works. Like, people can enjoy whatever they want to enjoy. And there's no right or wrong. My career's from YouTube. Like, that's how I'm... Where I am today. Like, otherwise, I wouldn't be without it. I'm actually going to a party tonight with all of my friends I met through YouTube.
That's cool.
We're all still friends. It's like, and loads of us don't make YouTube anymore, and are at uni and, you know, doing like biology degrees or whatever, but everyone's still really good mates.
But that's the thing, back then, especially for me, it was a platform that brought a lot of people together.
Yeah.
Because when I did it, I was the weird, I've said it so many times, I was the weird kid at school who was making videos in my bedroom. So when I met other people who were also that, we were like, oh, we're the weird kids, let's hang out. And we had something to, but now it's a complete different experience, a complete different ball game, and YouTube kind of scares me a bit now.
I think one of the great things about YouTube that we've always found is the immediacy of it. So I imagine for you, when you were creating a song, you just upload it and be like, oh,
amazing.
You can connect with people so quickly. Whereas now, and we're experiencing it, trying to write and go into like the traditional world of TV, you're going into the traditional world of music.
Yeah.
How are you finding it where you're writing a song and maybe it's not being released for 8 months or something?
It is...
Great question.
It is that's a good question. Go on. It is definitely different. I think it is, and it's going to be weird actually because a lot of creative types are going to have come from YouTube. Like, there's going to be a lot of this, of this transition. I mean, I'm actually, music is actually, I think, better than film and TV in the sense that, especially nowadays with streaming and everything, it is quite fluid. The thing that takes longest is like making the song, I think, actually, and like getting it finished. I don't think, especially with the sort of artist like I want to be, I can't release a song like every 2 weeks like I used to do, but that was a lot as well. I don't want to do that either. If I wanted to, I could, but I don't want to do that. Nowadays, it's actually not a huge jump because of streaming.
I think the biggest thing with you is your backlog of songs. Like the amount, I have like
a
150
songs
of yours.
But so like, I do a lot of writing sessions with producers and occasionally like other writers. And so after I finish my A-levels, I've kind of done like 4 a week. So if it's, so for example, we average that as like 16, that's like 16 songs a month, which is like
just mental,
which is like like a long album or like two albums maybe if you like cut it down. And so what do you think about that? And I've also been doing writing sessions for about 2.5 years, and obviously you don't get great songs every time, but I really enjoy that process, and people don't, so it's a different thing for everyone. But I definitely recently I've been like, right, I need to release more music. But I feel really happy now because I feel like the past 2 years have helped me see what I want to make.
Well, because you're, with your age especially, and like you said, you people listening, you were still in college whilst making all the stuff that's pretty much out at the moment.
You were
doing that part-time, so you've only been full-time
since like
for like
June.
A bit, and that's you're constantly growing through your age and through your learning in this space, in this industry, and what you're putting out now, what you're going to be making in a year is probably going to be way different already. So,
and it's kind of linked back to YouTube in a way, because it's like I'm quite glad that I couldn't, well, I actually could have, but I didn't. I had lots of good people advising, and like I didn't put out all of the stuff I did like a year or two ago. And now it's kind of, to go back with YouTube in a really weird link, all these like YouTubers who are quite young just putting everything on the internet. Because they don't know, they haven't maybe got the guidance, or they just have the ability. It's too easy for them to just be like, oh, I've just made this random vlog of me, like, I don't know, doing whatever. I'm going to put it on the internet because I like it. And there's something really great about that. But there's a flip, there's quite like a dark flip side, I think.
Unfortunately, we need to wrap up.
Yeah. That's a really dark note.
I'm sad.
I love Shawn Mendes. Let's bring it back on a positive note.
We unfortunately... aren't going to have time to cover the big question this week. Well, yeah, thank you for coming on our podcast, Maisie.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
And for anyone who hasn't listened to Maisie, I mean, just go and search you on Spotify, Apple Music.
That would be nice.
Also, I wanted to talk, I didn't have enough time, I wanted to talk about your European tour with Tom Walker, Mental.
Come and see me.
Support, you're going on a European tour.
I'm going to Europe.
It's too many cities to mention, isn't it? It's like
it's a lot.
Isn't it 40?
No,
it's
I haven't counted. It's a
stupid
lot.
Amount.
I would definitely be coming somewhere nearish you, so you should come. It will be actually good.
Where can they buy tickets?
You can buy tickets. I will put it into my bios on my social media, so you should go onto my social media and find it from there.
I'll put a link in the show notes too, guys.
Wow, look at this. All coming together.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please continue to subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and... be nice to us.
Why is that?
We get some mean comments online these days.
Do
so, all right.
Do you actually get mean comments?
Online.
Do you?
Yeah. Not about the podcast. Cheers, guys. Not about the podcast.
Bye.
We'll see you guys next week.
What did you get about? Okay, right. Sorry.
Bye.
Bye.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.